It's my pleasure to be here. For the next 20, 30 minutes or so, I would like to share with you one of the ongoing projects conducted by my graduate student, Chimendu. So the focus of this project is to look at abiotic transformation in the presence of montmorillonite and also iron-3 saturated montmorillonite. So now, first, a little bit of background information about triclosan. Triclosan is, here's the structure. This is a diphenyl ether, okay? And has very high log KOW, which means it's very hydrophobic. Triclosan is added in many consumer products as bactericide. The modal function of triclosan is by blocking the fatty acid synthesis and therefore prevent growth of the cells. That's the modal function. Like I mentioned, it is added in many consumer products and a very high concentration from 0.5 to 5% weight, 5 weight percent. And as you can see that it's added in soap and toothpaste and beddings and stuff. And as a parent, for those of you who have kids, you know that how miserable the parents will be if the kids get sick. So this kind of antibactericide is added in a lot of kids' products, you know, related to kids, because we know a lot of things, the yucky things that kids can do. So anyway, this compound is added in about 140 types of consumer products. So it shows you that how widespread usage of this compound is. So it is a high volume production chemical. Okay? And once they're in the environment, previous research have shown that it can be acutely or chronically toxic to certain aquatic organisms. So that's why we picked triclosan as our target compound to look at its transformation. Because of widespread usage of triclosan, it certainly made its way into different compartments in the environment. And so the red number here indicates the number of samples investigated. And the blue percentage number expressed in percentage, that's the percentage of the samples that actually were detected, a triclosan were detected in those percentage of samples. And here's the concentration range, okay? As you can see that in environmental samples, it's around low ppm or ppb level. Now, so the overall objective is try to understand the abiotic transformation of triclosan using experimental and computational approach. Hopefully, at the end of my talk, I will be able to show you enough evidence of the importance of coupling computational chemistry with investigation of transformation of organic contaminants. So the mineral of interest we pick for the abiotic transformation study is montmorillonite because it's widespread and has fairly high cation exchange capacity because of high negative surface charge due to the isomorphic substitution and high swelling capacity. So basically, the interlayer spacing can open up at certain situation and therefore expose a lot of reaction site on the surface. So it's a large surface area. Previous research by Dr. Stephen Boyce's research group have reported back in 1980s that if you exchange interlayer cation in montmorillonite by transition metals with high oxidation state, so those transition metals with high oxidation state can reduce in this process by taking one electron from chlorinated aromatic compounds. In this process, chlorinated aromatic compounds can become free radical. And then the free radical can further go through polymerization and dechlorination process. So now our hypothesis is that if you look at the size of triclosan, it's very small enough. Okay, so it's about 10 angstrom in the length wide and 5 angstrom, the other direction. So certainly this molecule is small enough, can squeeze in between the layers. And then if we have, if we load, exchange the cations in between the layer with iron 3, we certainly expect this type of similar reaction is happening. So that's our hypothesis. So our experiment was very simple. So we mix triclosan with just Wyoming montmorillonite. So basically, this type of montmorillonite has a lot of sodium cation as interlayer cation. And then we replace the interlayer cation with iron 3 plus. The reaction conditions, the concentration of triclosan in this reaction is very high. It's 0.01 millimole TCS per gram of mineral. The reason we use such a high level is that we want to saturate the surface at probably around 50% surface coverage. We want to start with a high concentration and work our way down. And so anyway, today, this presentation, I want to show you at this concentration what we find in terms of the abiotic transformation for TCS. We're also interested in the importance of the water in terms of the abiotic transformation of TCS with the presence of montmorillonite and iron saturated montmorillonite. And so we have two treatments with water and without water. And we're also interested in the effect of the UV light on the transformation because previous research has shown that TCS can go through rapid photolysis in the water phase, but there's no research have shown that if you have mineral suspended mineral particles in the water, what's happening in terms of the photolysis reaction. And we conducted this experiment at room temperature for up to 100 days. We use LC-MS and GC-MS and LC-UV for detection and quantification, identification of TCS and its transformation products. We also use a computational approach to predict what kind of reaction product, transformation product we should expect. Okay. So the nice thing about using a computational approach is that you can feed the computer model scenario. You're expecting this and this product to be forming. Okay. So the computer modeling do this type of calculation. Then that will give you a general direction in terms of what kind of instrument and condition you should use in terms of trying to find the product you want to look at. As you know, those of you familiar with LC and GC, we know that the type of column you use is very important, and the type of mobile phase, and even the type of extraction solution you use for extracting out your metabolite is very important. If you use the wrong column, you use the wrong mobile phase with your instrumentation, you might come up with a conclusion that you're not finding anything. Okay, so that's what's happening with my with my graduate student. So anyway, here's the result. The y-axis shows the ratio of the final concentration of triclosan over the initial and the percentage. Okay, and the top two figures were conducted without light. Okay, so this without water and wastewater. And this is just the montmorillonite itself. And blue triangle is for iron 3 saturated montmorillonite. So the bottom two figures were in the environment of wastewater and under UV light. So we use two different UV wavelengths. The reason for that is that this wavelength, it has lower energy, but this is a major UV wavelength that in the sunlight. So in a way, we're interested in what's happening if TCS end up in the surface water, when it's exposed to sunlight. And then UV wavelengths of 254, the reason we picked this is that this wavelength is used fairly commonly for disinfection purpose in wastewater treatment plants and drinking water treatment plants. So that's why we picked these two type of wavelengths. Okay, so now, if you look at the top left figure, without water, just a simply mixing of TCS with montmorillonite and iron saturated montmorillonite, we were very surprised to find this result. See, within one day, more than 50% of TCS disappeared in the system with iron 3 saturated montmorillonite. Okay, and with just the montmorillonite, we also saw the disappearance of TCS, but at a much slower rate. Okay, so the half-life of TCS in the montmorillonite-only system is about 50 days, somewhere here. But notice the rapid disappearance of TCS. It's about within one to 2 days, more than 50% of TCS in the iron-saturated montmorillonite disappear. So now the right figure shows that with additional water, the water has quite a bit impact in terms of transformation rate of TCS in montmorillonite only system. It doesn't have as much impact for iron 3 saturated system. So again, the half-life for TCS in the iron 3 saturated montmorillonite system, it's a little bit longer compared to without the water, but it's so pretty much the same time frame. But now with just montmorillonite system, initially there's a sharp decrease, but then it just reached very slow, steady rate. Okay. So now, notice in this case, without the light in the darkness, so we're talking about the reaction on the, days, up to 100 days. And notice the x-axis for the top two, bottom two figures is in the matter of a couple of days, on matters of hours. So when it exposed under UV light at 366 wavelengths, notice again, iron saturated montmorillonite, you have iron 3 saturated montmorillonite, you have the sharp decrease within the first couple hours. So more than 50% of TCS disappear from the system. And we observe the sharp decrease with TCS in the system just with montmorillonite. However, after 2 hours, somehow the reaction stopped. Okay, and just TCS itself in the water, as I mentioned already on previous research, have shown that TCS can go through photolysis reaction. And we know that UV wavelengths of 366 is not as, the energy is much lower than the UV wavelengths at 254. And so as you can see that when it's exposed to 254, TCS just decrease very rapidly. So at 254 wavelengths, we didn't see much difference in terms of whether we add montmorillonite or iron saturated montmorillonite or not. So in this system, the UV light is so strong, it overcome the effect of other factors. Okay. So this result just shows you the general transformation trend, the disappearance of TCS from the system. Okay, so now let's look at the transformation products. So that's one of the main goal for today's presentation is, okay, so TCS is transformed. So what's forming, okay? So the GCMS gives us two major peaks. This is TCS peak, so you can ignore that. Now, we found 2,4-dichlorophenol in the system, okay? And the mass spec confirm that. So now that's bad news because we know 2,4-dichlorophenol is one of a major contaminants in the groundwater, and we try to get rid of it. Okay, so that's not a good news. Now, in terms of how much TCS actually can was transformed into 2,4-dichlorophenol, so this is a micromole per gram 2,4-dichlorophenol formed. And remember, our system started with 10 micromole TCS per gram of mineral. So in this case, with iron 3 saturated montmorillonite ionite and the peak time, about 60% of TCS added into the system were transformed into 2,4-dichlorophenol, and then it began to decrease. So now with just montmorillonite itself, about 10% 2,4 TCS was transformed to 2,4-dichlorophenol. So the level is much lower. Okay. So the formation of 2,4-dichlorophenol is the indication that TCS went through the bond, ether bond cleavage and forming 2,4-dichlorophenol and 3-chlorophenol. Okay. So now, LC mass spectrum. This is the LC mass spectrum for iron saturated system, iron 3 saturated system, and montmorillonite only system. As you notice that the chromatogram profile are very, very similar, among the two, between the two systems. Okay, so we identified about 13 transformation products in this case. So now here I want to talk about the importance of computational approach. At the beginning, my graduate student used a round column and used a round mobile phase. We did not see anything, okay? But we know that TCS transforms so fast, especially in the iron-saturated system. And we thought, well, that can't be right. So we went to our computational chemist and told our computational chemist that we have this iron 3 and it can go through reduction reaction and perhaps it can take one electron out of TCS. Can we do a calculation and see possibly what kind of product we should look at? And then the calculation indicates that there's dimer formation and trimer formation and some other things. And that point us the direction and picking the right column and right mobile phase and right condition for detecting the compound metabolites. Okay. So now I want to go through this chromatogram quite a bit detail process. Okay, first let's look at the first peak, peak A. Okay, so this table here shows the molecular iron stable isotope cluster, okay? And notice we have five base peaks, okay, here. And also notice the two mass step increment, okay? So this is a telltale sign that we have chlorine atoms in this product, okay, in this compound. And the number of chlorines is 4, okay? And this gives us the mass. So it suggests that this product is actually 2,4-dichlorophenol dimer. So first we have 2,4-dichlorophenol forming. And then 2,4-dichlorophenol can can be oxidized by the iron 3+, and then attached to another 2,4-dichlorophenol and then forming a dimer. Okay, so that's the first peak. Okay, so now the second peak, peak number one, it's very small, but because those peak is very large, but anyway, it's a distinctive peak. And if you look at the molecular iron stable isotope cluster, that indicates that there are 5 chlorines in this molecule. Okay, then in this product, and here's the mass. Okay, so our calculation suggests that 2,4-dichlorophenol phenoxy radical, and not only can form dimer with another 2,4-dichlorophenol molecule, but also can form this can link itself to a TCS molecule, okay, and form this, we call this 1-point-5-mer, okay, so you have TCS just by itself, and then 2,4-dichlorophenol. So it's the structure somewhat like that. Okay, so now peak number two, and here is the molecular iron stable isotope cluster indicates that there are four chlorine atoms on the molecule, but you know this mass is much higher than peak number one, even though they both have four chlorine atoms on the molecule. So again, the model predict computational approach predict that the three chlorophenol formed from the ether bond cleavage can form radical and then attach itself to TCS and form a compound like this. So it's somewhat similar to peak number one, however, has one chlorine atom less, okay, in the structure. Okay, so now next four peaks, 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you look at the mass spec, they all have very similar mass spec, and they have the same molecular iron stable isotope cluster. Okay, so this indicates that so you have four peaks here, okay, and you're looking at four different compounds, but they're very similar, and they all have six chlorine atoms on their structure, and this is the molar mass. Our prediction is that what we're looking at is a TCS dimer. Okay, so again, the model predicts that TCS also can be oxidized by iron 3 cation, and so form this kind of phenoxy radical. And then this TCS phenoxy radical attaches itself to another TCS molecule and form dimer. Okay, so you have two TCS molecules attached to each other. And then the last six peaks, okay? Again, we found that the six peaks, they all have nine chlorine atoms. They have very similar, they have the same stable isotope cluster. And our model predict that it's the TCS trimer. So in this case, TCS dimer can be further oxidized into a radical, in phenoxy radical. And then this dimer attaches itself to TCS molecule itself and form trimer. Okay. I have 5 minutes? Okay.
Two minutes.
Okay, but anyhow, so now let's look at the four peaks. Okay, if you look at this TCS phenoxy radical, and it attaches itself to a TCS molecule, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 carbon position that can accept this phenoxy radical. But we only found four peaks. So now, what's happening here? So our model, the computation model, predicts that the relative energy of the six possible conformers, okay, so 1 to 6, and notice the energy difference. 1 and 2, they're very similar. At very low energy level, they're very similar, okay? And then you have 4 and 5, they're a little bit higher, okay? And then 3 and 6, they're even higher level. So in this case, it makes sense, we can conclude that conformer 1 and 2 probably correspond to the two major peaks here, 4 and 5, and then 4 and 5, probably it's the 3 and 6 peak, okay? So similar case for trimers. Again, we should expect way more than 6 peaks if you look at the possible positions for attachment of dimer radical to a TCS trimer. But now if you look at go back to look at energy level again, it make more sense for the dimer radical to attach to position 1 and 2 first. Okay. So now, if you look at the structure, spatial structure of dimer 1 and 2, and as you can see that the reaction site phenoxy radical for dimer 1 is sort of in the valley, it's in the middle. You know, so for another TCS molecule to fit into that space, it's not as easy as fitting to the phenoxy radical that is sticking out sort of, you know, this way. And so that gives us suggestion that the most likely is this this conformer is attaching itself to the six possible positions on the TCS molecule, and that will give us six peaks. And then now, which so you have, we have six peaks. We know one peak is way higher than the other. So what compound could that be? So if you look at the TCS the structure, as you can see, that position number two, which has very low energy, and also it has more space to accept another molecule. So in this case, so phenoxy radical from dimer and attached to this, that gives us the structure of trimer with the lowest energy. And that corresponds to the highest peak here. Okay. So now with the presence of water, we find very similar transformation product. With under UV light, we found very similar transformation product. But we also find another product is 2,8-dioxin, which is not so good news because we don't like dioxin to be in the environment. Okay. So we didn't find that in the dark environment. And also, this figure shows that with the presence of iron 3, montmorillonite, and 2,8 dioxin formation is not as obvious as with just the unsaturated clay. Okay. So if you look at the transformation pathway of 2,8 dioxin, as you can see that first it has to go through deprotonation, and then and then goes through the cyclation process. So in this case, the pH of the environment is very important. So probably iron 3 saturated montmorillonite is suppressing the deprotonation, therefore suppressing the formation of 2,8 dioxin. So as a conclusion, iron 3 saturated montmorillonite can significantly increase TCS transformation. We found various transformation products such as 2,4 dichlorophenol, dimers, and trimers. And we found small quantity of 2,8 dioxin under UV light. And so now here, I want to point out is that when we do adsorption study, sometimes, you know, we have to probably think about the disappearance of organic compound from your solution phase may not simply due to the sorption. Maybe it's also due to some the transformation. In this study, we've certainly shown that just montmorillonite itself has certain, you know, capacity of transforming this compound. So anyway, with that, in the future experiment, and you know, we can do with, you know, other conditions and see what's happening here. And I certainly you know, appreciate my students' effort and our computational chemists' help. And with that, I will take questions and thanks. Sorry to take so long.
Thank you very much.
Okay.